Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you the latest and greatest in nerdy news and trending nerd topics. Explicit content warning, this podcast may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages. Content on this podcast has been deemed to be vulgar, rude, and sometimes even crude. So you have been warned. What up, what up, what up, my motherfucking nerdy peeps? What's going down, everybody? Everybody wants to be your kid.
Do they now?
No, I hate cats.
Yeah, we established that last time, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
I hope everybody's having a good week because, you know, the nerdy boys probably are. Yeah.
Yeet. What the fuck was that?
Dude, it's all funny because, like, okay, so, like, if you guys didn't know by now, I'm a big, like, Twitch guy. Like, I like watching people on Twitch and I stream myself, so you know, if you guys like to do the same thing, you guys should definitely go follow my channel, twitch.tv/CaptainHotSauce, all one word, dog. Hell yeah. Anyways, so I think his name is like CND Third or something like that, dude, but he goes by C's. He's hella funny, dude. He played Fortnite, he played some other games, but like whenever he's about to like try to like snipe somebody with a headshot, he always goes yeet first, and then takes a shot. It's hecka funny, dude.
Does he ever miss?
Yeah, I mean, he misses sometimes, but he'll hit a lot of headshots. It's so funny, dude, when he's doing it. And Ninja also does it. Like, Seize is a pretty big streamer, by the way. And he also streams with Ninja sometimes.
Uh huh.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So what's new with you, Christian?
Oh, you know, not too much. Well, you know, see, I've been planning this road trip, right? Where I'll be like driving for a long time to the middle western states.
Okay.
But I'm gonna have to postpone it.
Why?
Because hotels are very expensive.
So, like, I'm not gonna lie, I kinda seen this coming, right? Because like you waited a really long time to start saving for this. And I was like, because I noticed like you kind of started saving within like the last couple weeks and stuff. And I was like, dang, that's kind of close to like plan for like a road trip. Like some people even like go like a year in advance of like planning.
What
and
I
stuff
was
and
thinking
saving.
Was like before, because when I had originally planned it, I was like, well, I have like a huge credit limit, you know, so I could always just like throw up some, you know, put it on the credit card and just pay it off pretty quickly.
Right,
you know?
right.
But then I bought a car and I used my credit card to put a down payment on, and so that's not something I'm willing to do anymore.
Yeah.
But so
you're not like me. You don't max your credit cards out.
No. I still have probably $6,000 to $8,000 in credit I could spend. I just really don't want to do that.
Right, yeah, so, it's just not a good idea, man.
Right now, I'm just, like, talking with my friends and seeing if I can maybe stay with them for a little bit of it. I had texted my dad, and his response to me was kind of like, okay, well, maybe hotels will be cheaper in October. And I was like, all right, then.
All right.
And then he said, I might have enough points for you to get one free night in a hotel. And I was like, all right, well, thanks. That's a great help.
Did you directly ask him to stay with him?
I just told him I'd probably have to postpone my trip because hotels are expensive. Because even the cheapest hotel out there is probably like $75 to $100 a night. And when you're doing that over the course of like 10 days, that's $750 to $1,000 just to, like, I pay rent, like, already. I don't need to pay rent somewhere else, like, for 10 days, you know? Which is pretty much a month's rent somewhere for a fucking studio apartment, pretty much. You know, and it's like, I'm looking into, like, Airbnb as well, which is a little cheaper. You know, and if, like, I had someone going with me, it'd be much cheaper. You know, I could easily split that cost. But there's no one that will go with me or that can get the time off or anything, so.
If only you knew people.
Well, I've asked you on a couple occasions, and you've either feigned interest or, like, you know, and you're already planning other trips.
What are you talking about, dude? I'm talking about October, bro.
Yeah, but you're going to New York.
Yeah, potentially.
But I'm going the month before that. You're not going to take another trip, you know, if you're planning on spending money to take a flight to New York and stay there. Then that's, like, so close that it'd be a conflict, wouldn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. Me and Josh were talking about it. We don't even know, like, first off, I don't even know if he'll be even able to afford going to New York, first off. I you know, if I really, like, grinded it, like, I would be able to afford it, but I don't know if he would. And then on top of that, I don't know if he would even, if there's, like, anybody else that really wants to go with us, so it'd just kind of be me and him, which, I mean, is not a bad thing or anything.
Right.
Me and him always get into a lot of shenanigans, like last night. but, yeah, I mean, I'd be down. I want a road trip everywhere, dude.
Okay, well, if you...
I want to go everywhere. But, like, where do you want
to
go,
so
though?
So, what I'm
like,
gonna, what I'm planning is to drive to... Well, I'll probably stop a couple places along the way, but not for long, you know, just to, like, see some attractions.
Correct.
But, you know, like, I'm not going to really try to spend a whole lot of time on the road, to be honest. I just want to get where I'm going. Like, I'm not the kind of person that just, like, is, like, you know, let's just stop here for 2 hours or whatever, you know?
Right. Like, because then it would, like, literally just take us, like, weeks to finish this.
Right. Like, I would drive to Wisconsin, right, and then, you know, visit a couple people, but, like, explore places I haven't been. Like, I lived there for 2 years, dude. I've never been to the Wisconsin Dells, which is an amazing place there. They have, like, awesome attractions, caverns, and shit like that. Like, cool things to explore. I want to go down to Kentucky and see Ronnie so we can fucking roast
Ronnie.
The shit out of
Ronnie, 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 yeah, Ronnie,
Ronnie, Ronnie, Ronnie, Ronnie.
And know. Then I can fucking outdo him in person in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
See me on the bench, homie.
So
a
yeah.
little runt.
You know, if you wanted to go, the only thing would be just like splitting costs for like an Airbnb or something. Other than that, you know, buy your own
Ronnie,
food,
you need to let us know, is there anything to do in Kentucky?
He said he'll show us around if you come too.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm sure all there is to do in Kentucky is drink and shit, dude. I mean, you'll feel right at home.
Yes, I love drinking.
But yeah, I mean,
does Ronnie drink?
Yeah, of course Ronnie drinks.
Yes.
Who doesn't drink?
You.
Yeah. You know who else doesn't drink?
Who?
Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that why he's your idol?
He's not my idol, to be honest with you. I found this out. I was like watching old interviews with him and stuff, and like it's like one of his big things in one of the books he wrote, and I was like, okay. Like, look, Donald Trump is a very problematic figure, but he's an interesting figure, and you can learn a lot from him, a lot of what not to do as well.
True. Anyways, away from that,
but yeah, yeah,
shenanigans.
Yeah.
But so we're planning road trips. I've been streaming a lot lately, like every day. So if you do want to come check and support my channel, that would be fantastic. Like I said earlier, twitch.tv/CaptainHotSauce, all one word. All right. So without further ado, I think we're going to get into the news now. This is the NBR News, live from the NBR in-home studios. Back to you.
Okay. Hello. Hi. Okay. So, guys, guess what? Captain Marvel finished principal photography, so that's cool. Ant-Man and the Wasp opened opening weekend, made $161 million worldwide. Broke some more box office records, I guess. But, you know, low end for Marvel movies, right? While taking a break from the now-in-production Wonder Woman 1984, star Gal Gadot, whatever you want to say, put on her full heroic costume and paid a visit to the Inova Children's Hospital in Annandale, Virginia.
Well, that's cool.
Because she's a true hero.
She is an inspiration.
Yeah. And on the Ant-Man and the Wasp, guys, I know. We need to review that. We will. Don't worry. It's in the works. It's going to be amazing when we talk about that.
Yeah.
And then there's like the first official photo from Shazam. It's like a promo image of like Billy Batson next to Captain Marvel. Both of them are like drinking some sort of old school soda. And he's like in his full costume. So it's like the first real look, official look at his costume. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell when it's like slightly angled, but I mean, it looks pretty interesting. Why is the whole bolt yellow?
I don't know. And it's like, it looks like a muscle suit, you know?
It does. Like, or is that guy just that ripped?
He might have got ripped, but like if you look at like the chest and stuff, it looks like there's padding under there.
Kind of does. It's a little difficult to tell. I mean, I like the suit. Don't get me wrong. It just looks weird for some reason. It does look like it's inflated muscles or something, you know? Like they CGI'd it a little
bit. Like not like the cheap like Halloween costume inflated muscles, but like an expensive version of that.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty interesting. That will more than likely be on our Instagram pretty soon.
Yeah. So we have to start with some sad news.
Right.
Steve Ditko, comic book legend and co-creator of Spider-Man, dead at 90. Artist Steve Ditko, a titan in the world of comic books, has passed away. The Hollywood Reporter confirmed the news, revealing that Ditko passed last week. Though the news of his passing has just now been confirmed by the New York Police Department. Ditko began drawing and publishing comics in the 1950s, working alongside the likes of Joe Simon and Jack Kirby. In the middle of the decade, he found work with Atlas Comics, the precursor to Marvel, drawing stories in the classic Journey into Mystery and Strange Tales comics. After years of working on those other titles, Ditko was enlisted by Stan Lee to help him create a new superhero character who would become Spider-Man. Spidey made his debut in Amazing Fantasy 15 in August 1962, and Ditko continued to draw the web-slinger in his regular monthly book from issues 1 through 38. Along the way, Ditko co-created many fan-favorite villains, including Dr. Octopus, Vulture, Electro, Scorpion, Kraven the Hunter, the Lizard, Mysterio, Sandman, and the Green Goblin. Other pillars of Spider-Man continuity created by Ditko include Aunt May, J. Jonah Jameson, Flash Thompson, Betty Brant, Harry Osborn, and Mary Jane Watson. So pretty much every fucking person in Spider-Man comics. Pivotal moments from Ditko's run on the character have been translated into scenes for the character's many feature films, most notably the scene from Spider-Man Homecoming, where Peter lifts himself out of the rubble that sits on top of him, which comes from Amazing Spider-Man number 33. Which is why that scene kills me. Ditko's fingerprints are all over other Marvel Comics characters as well. He also co-created The Sorcerer Supreme with Stan Lee, Doctor Strange, along with his villains Dormammu and Baron Mordo. In addition, Ditko co-created the Hulk villain, The Leader, all of whom have appeared in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Later in his career, Ditko left the House of Ideas to work at their distinguished competition, DC Comics. While there, he co-created other key characters in the DCU, like The Creeper and duo Hawk and Dove. Furthermore, Ditko had a long career at Charlton Comics, creating superheroes like the Ted Kord version of Blue Beetle, who Scott likes.
I do.
Along like with Captain Atom and The Question, the creation of these characters would go on to inspire the characters Dr. Manhattan and Rorschach from the seminal comic series Watchmen. Steve Ditko officially retired from mainstream comics in the late 1990s, but has remained active in publishing his own independent comics as recently as 2016. Steve Ditko is a hero.
Yep. The guy is an absolute legend in comics. I mean, obviously, you know, we just told you all about his career and stuff and how, like, you know, we published some messages on our social media, but, you know, the guy's, he's just an absolute legend, man. He's going to be missed.
Steve Ditko, you know, was one of those people that forever changed the way stories are told in a way, you know.
Right,
it's amazing.
I mean, the profound effect that he truly did have on this world through the creation of his characters. I mean, that's like a content creator's dream right there, is to truly impact lives and stuff. And he did that on just a whole nother level. I mean, the inspiration that man created is just up there. You know, it's just it's something that can't be, you know. I don't know, man.
Right. And, you know, they mentioned co-creator on a lot of these things. And, I mean, I don't know if it's, like, speculation. I don't know if it's ever been proven. But it's long been thought that it was his idea for a lot of these characters. Like,
yeah, like Spider-Man.
Yeah. You know, and Stan Lee gets all the credit, really. Whereas, you know, without Steve Ditko, it wouldn't have happened. So, you know, he helped make Marvel what it is today. And
yeah, I know.
What it will be.
I mean, he pretty much laid down the foundation for Marvel to succeed. And man, this, so many people owe him so much in his life, you know. He will be sorely missed, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal body of work that he's compiled.
Yeah. So, moving on to, you know, some... betterish news,
yeah, some stuff. Happier news, maybe.
Yeah, You know, on a less depressing note. So, Carrie Russell joins J.J. Abrams, Star Wars Episode 9. Golden Globe winner Carrie Russell from The Americans, Felicity, Free State of Jones, will be teaming up once again with award-winning writer, director, and producer J.J. Abrams, who was, like, in a bunch of Star Wars and Star Trek and Westworld stuff. On the upcoming Star Wars Episode 9, Variety has confirmed this as well. The pair also previously collaborated on Mission Impossible 3. God, I hate that movie already. It hasn't even come out. And, like, dude, it's, like, every movie for, like, the past year has, like, had the new Mission Impossible preview on it. And it's just, like, dude.
Wait, but that, the next one coming out is, like, 5 or 6, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I'm just saying, I just see the title Mission Impossible. I'm just like, I hate you.
Yeah, dude, I almost walked out of Ant-Man and the Wasp because they showed another fucking preview for that movie.
Yeah, anyways, so the pair also previously collaborated on Mission Impossible 3, where Russell starred alongside Tom Cruise and Philip Seymour Hoffman and Vig Rhames, I think. Little is known about Russell's role in the film, but the outlet notes that it will call for action-heavy fighting scenes. The actress recently finished production on the final season of FX, The Americans, and her other recent credits also include Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Dark Skies. Star Wars Episode 9 will conclude the third trilogy of the Star Wars movies that begin with Star Wars The Force Awakens, followed up by Star Wars The Last Jedi, following Colin Trevorrow's exit over creative differences. Abrams, who directed The Force Awakens, was asked to return to direct for Episode 9. J.J. Abrams also co-wrote the script with Chris Terrio, who also worked on Justice League and Argo. Episode 9 will be produced by Kathleen Kennedy, Michelle Rajwan, Abrams, Bad Robot, and Lucasfilms. Previously set for May 24th, 2019 release date, the film will now arrive December 20th, 2019. Production on Episode 9 will begin at the end of July, with more casting announcements likely to be revealed before filming starts. So far, the cast includes returning favorites Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, and Adam Driver.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Carrie Russell, if I'm honest with you. Maybe she's going to be Rey's mom.
Yeah, dude, I have no idea who that even is, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. But in better Star Wars Episode 9 news, Billy Dee Williams returns as Lando. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed that the long gestated rumors that Billy Dee Williams will return to that galaxy far, far away and will reprise his role of Lando Calrissian for next year's Star Wars Episode 9. Williams made his debut as the gambling scoundrel in Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, reprising in Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, and in countless other Star Wars shows like Star Wars Rebels and games like Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast. He even voiced the character in various Robot Chicken and Family Guy episodes dedicated solely to Star Wars, as well as the Lego movie. Donald Glover stepped into the role earlier this year to play a younger Lando in Solo, a Star Wars Story.
So I know there's like a lot of rumors swirling this piece of news in particular. I know you're particularly buzzing about this news on social media. Excited. Yeah, and I seen you were like, oh, dude, I'm so excited. I'm so excited, boys.
Because remember when we reviewed The Last Jedi and I was like, where the fuck is Lando?
Right? You know, yeah, I was thinking the same thing too, right? I mean, especially with the death of Han.
Of Han? Of Han, old buddy.
Han, old buddy. I'm surprised, like, Don Glover didn't do that laugh in the movie. he's just, like, so funny, dude, in that movie. Anyways, but yeah, I'm surprised Lando wasn't in Episode 8 either.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I mean, obviously, Episode 7, Han Solo dies.
Right.
Oh my God, spoiler, boys.
Yeah. Spoilers for a movie 3 years old. Yeah. Yeah, this, you know, like you were saying, a lot of, like, rumors and other things. On top of that, just people taking the piss out of this news. People saying, oh, he's going to be Rey's dad. Oh, he's going to mysteriously show up with force powers. Yeah. Oh, he's going to, just so they can kill him, because, you know, they're killing off, you know, Luke and Han and Leia. So, yeah, you guys didn't fucking know that was going to happen.
It's like, so, obviously, there's a huge divide in the Star Wars community over the direction of what Star Wars has become now.
No way.
Yeah, way, dude. But it's like, a lot of people are really pissed that they're killing off all the old cast and stuff, you know, talking about, oh, hashtag not my Star Wars or whatever, you know. But it's like the most brilliant thing. It's because it's coming to a natural conclusion with their age and stuff like that.
Right.
And without you killing them, you can never truly move forward, because there will still be the need and hunger for wanting to see those characters. So if they're dead, you can't see them,
and,
brother.
And this trilogy was always going to be a passing of the torch trilogy, you know?
Right, exactly,
like,
dude.
We all knew that. Like, you don't have to like it, but it was always going to be that, so...
I just can't be. I can't wait for it to be done. We can move on to something else, something better, hopefully.
Yeah, and you know, there's like some controversy because there's this podcast called Rebel Force Radio. They're like one of the biggest Star Wars podcasts, one of the first ones, and they came out with all this anti-social justice stuff, talking shit about how they're focusing on women and how it's destroying Star Wars and things like that. And like, they're getting a lot of hate right now for it. But
yeah.
It's like, Why are Star Wars fans so toxic, man? Like,
I don't know.
I'm
dude.
A huge Star Wars fan, dude. I grew up loving Star Wars, and now that I'm part of this, you know, community, I can't stand the people that like the Star Wars mega death fans fucking.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I do think it's kind of funny, right? You know, because I mean, yes, there are women out there that are true Star Wars fans, but for the most part, there was a long time when there was a large number of women that just fucking hated this film because guys were so obsessed with it and stuff, and they never understood. It's like video games nowadays, you know. You know, obviously there are actually it's becoming the same thing. It's like video games. It's like all the girls hated it because, you know, guys were paying more attention to that than them or whatever. And then, you know, now it's like it's shifting.
Right.
They're becoming more interested in stuff like that. I think it's kind
of
funny.
Well,
in the whole
one
sense,
of the, one
I don't
of,
care.
One
either
of the
way.
Things they were talking about was because they spun off this book called Dr. Aphra, who was a character introduced in the Darth Vader comic book series.
Okay.
And they're saying women don't buy comic books. Why would they try to pander to women by making this series? And it's just not true. None of it's true. Number one, Dr. Aphra is an amazing character, you know. And sure, she has B-Tech R2-D2 and B-Tech C-3PO with her, but like that doesn't really matter, you know. It's like, They're trying to say women just don't buy comics. They're pandering to women by making a woman-led comic.
That's
like,
a lie.
Number one, like, men don't want women-led comics. Like we've never had a Miss Marvel series. We've never had
Wonder
anything
Woman.
Like that. Anything like that, right? Also, ask any comic book store owner. They'll tell you it's about 50-50 men and women who buy comic books
right.
from their store. Ask any one of them. You know, like, and maybe statistics don't necessarily show that for demographics, but it's not like how it was in the 60s. It's not 90% men anymore.
Right.
And even
yeah.
if it was making a woman-led comic, men will still fucking buy it. I don't get it.
People are stupid.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, who's that? Who's that? Yeah, Daniel, who knows so much about comics, but I was talking about Deadpool, and he said, who's Rob Liefeld? God
right.
damn it, dude. Anyway. That's your turn.
Is it my turn?
It's your
cool.
turn, yeah.
I like reading. Oh, Rob Liefeld's Prophet Comics being adapted by Studio 8. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who's Rob Liefeld, you ask? Like, dude, he's totally the Deadpool creator, man. In, like, 1992, the comic book Prophet was, like, adapted by, like, wait, what the fuck? All right, I'm going to start talking. I'm confusing myself. Oh man, yeah, we're just taking the piss out of Daniel because he's so stupid. So like at dinner last night, like we went to Roadhouse, and I forgot how Rob Liefeld. Oh, it's because who?
Logan Paul.
Oh yeah, Logan Paul. Like
he
freaking.
He tweeted a picture like to promote his new show with his face on Deadpool's body, and Rob Liefeld just like posted like oh no or something.
Yeah, and then Daniel was like, who's Rob Liefeld? And it's so funny because he's like this self-proclaimed huge Deadpool fan. And it's like you don't even know who the creator of it is.
He's also a self-proclaimed huge Wolverine fan. Like he's obsessed with Wolverine. And we were like, when we were driving there, he said, why is X-23 Asian? And I said, she's not Asian. She's a clone of Wolverine. And he's like, okay. And I said, is James Howlett Asian? He said, who's James Howlett?
I hate you so much, Daniel.
He really didn't know that. What? Anyway, continue.
All right. So, anyways, Deadpool creator Rob Liefeld's 1992 comic book Prophet is being adapted by Studio 8. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed John Prophet, the title character from the comics, was first introduced in the Youngblood Image comic series in 1992, before his own series began in 1993. In Prophet, John Prophet could be described as the anti-Captain America. He's a DNA-enhanced super soldier from World War II era who's awakened in our time after being put in cryogenic freeze for a future mission. Unfortunately, he was not supposed to wake up until years down the road, making Prophet a fish out of water, spending his time in search of a mission that does not exist. In 2012, the Prophet comics were relaunched with John Prophet existing in the far future, though the movie will likely focus on the same origin story as in the 90s versions of the comics. Liefeld was happy with Studios H approach and vision for the movie, and saying that they quote, they did their homework, and not only did they do their homework, they are true fans. Who said this? Liefeld quotes saying, it makes sense that it's a destination that we can arrive at if we are successful. The creator also made it clear that the film won't be an adaptation of a single story from the comics, saying, we're going to be taking the best parts of Prophet to create the best cinematic version of Prophet that we can. He's very pure in his motives to help out his family, and he ends up becoming something completely different. Producing the films, the film are Liefeld, Adrian, Ashery, I think, I don't know, and Brooklyn Weaver and John Hyde, Teresa Kelton involved in the project as well. Studio H, John Graham and Guy Danella will oversee the film, I'm guessing, in being producers. Okay,
so we're getting this and Faith and Animosity and Invincible and
right.
all these indie comic book TV shows and movies, and yet the most successful, most ambitious, most interesting independent comic book of the past 5 years hasn't had a word of it. Where is Saga?
Yeah, it is honestly totally outrageous that Saga has not got its own film or TV show by now.
And
it is legitimately one of the best comic books I've ever read. And I didn't even finish. I think I finished like the first 4 or 5
volumes.
Yeah, or volumes. Issues. Volumes.
Volumes, yeah. So they're up to like 8 now, I think.
Yeah.
Brian K. Vaughan is such a good writer, such a good, you know, storyteller. And I actually did some research on this because like my conclusion was they're just doing these things because they want money. Like, there's no interest in them at all, these properties. Like, if there was any real interest in them, like, they would wait, like to do them at a time where they felt like they would be best, right?
And right.
My whole thinking was maybe with Saga, they're just waiting because they know they want it to be the best thing possible. So they're just going to wait and wait and wait on it until they can do that.
Yeah, until we actually have aliens on this earth that they can just use instead of, like, using, like, aesthetics and makeup and stuff like that. They'll wait for like the ram horned people to show up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll wait for the robot head people to show up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, it's gonna make
sense.
Once
it becomes a reality, they'll do it. Yeah.
Right.
So the research I did, Brian K. Vaughan pretty much said that right now they're just not interested in it. Like them as the writers. He said it was never a story that was supposed to be a platform to get them to a new medium. It was always just supposed to be a great comic book story. You know, and he said they're not look. He said if you're looking for Saga, expect it in about 15 years.
What?
That's what he said. He said Saga probably won't be made into a TV show for 15 years.
I'll punch that kid's baby.
He said the most selling out they'll do is the Funko Pops and like merchandise like that.
Wow, dude, you're so punk rock, brother. Never sell out. Yeah.
No, the.
Douchebag.
We need Saga as a TV show or something. Like, we just need it. It's one of the best things that... look, if you guys are interested...
I'm legit pissed off now.
If you guys are interested in, like, not so much, like, the superhero genre comics, read almost anything by Image. They've done such a phenomenal job with, like, Sex Criminals and East of West and all that stuff. Like, there's so much good stuff at Image. Read them.
Oh, yeah. Image is a phenomenal comic company. Can we even call it indie anymore? Like, how popular is it? I don't know.
Well, Spawn pretty much launched them to mainstream success, I'd say, in the 90s. So, yeah.
It's not really indie
they're
anymore.
They're still indie in terms of what they put out. Like,
yeah, like,
they're still, they're
competition
very
compared to, like, Marvel and DC, you know? Right. They're still technically indie level or whatever, but they're leaps and bounds better than every other indie comic company out there.
Definitely. Okay, Joaquin Phoenix Joker origin movie officially announced.
God, I hate you all.
I can just hear your eyes rolling. Everyone listening to this right now, I can hear it. Warner Brothers Pictures has officially announced that Joaquin Phoenix will star in an origin story of one of DC's most notorious supervillains, the Joker. Under the direction of Todd Phillips from the Hangover franchise, the new film centers around the iconic arch-nemesis and is an original, standalone story not seen before on the big screen. Phillips' exploration of a man disregarded by society is not only a gritty character study, but also a broader cautionary tale. Phillips will direct from a screenplay he co-wrote with writer Scott Silver from The Fighter. The film will be produced by Emma Tillinger-Kaskoff and executive produced by Richard Barada and begins production later this year. It will be distributed worldwide by Warner Brothers Pictures. The Hollywood Reporter brings word that the project has a production budget of $55 million, which puts it on the low end for superhero movies. And that is quite different from the Cape projects because no release date has been officially set. The Hollywood Reporter also notes that the film could arrive as early as the later half of 2019, but that remains unconfirmed. Warner Brothers is also reportedly in development on a separate Joker feature film, which would star Jared Leto as the villain, reprising his role from Suicide Squad. Phoenix recently sat down with Kleider to discuss the film and his feelings on the role. Phoenix, who considers himself very careful when it comes to choosing which films he works on, found himself impressed by Todd Phillips' script and vision for the film and the universe he creates, calling it unique and admitting that it scares the fucking shit out of him. The 43-year-old actor also discussed ideas that had he had similar to this film not too long ago. 3 or 4 years ago, I called my agent and said, why don't they take one of these characters and just make a lower budget film about it, a movie, but a character study, and why not take one of the villains, Phoenix said.
Yeah, I'm sure you said that, dude.
Totally. Ironically, he also discussed how he thought the Joker would not be the right character for this concept, as this character study has been done before for the popular villain, and it wouldn't be right to revisit it. Phoenix also described his feelings on the expectations coming from the role, saying he always feels anxiety when he takes on a role from a director or writer, for fear he might not have met their expectations. But it feels magnificent because it's not just one person's expectations, but what you're telling me is that there's at least a dozen, Phoenix said. In discussing the film itself, Phoenix said the genre is indescribable, landing not in one genre or the other, but rather feeling like a purely unique feature, and that the most important thing about the film is Phillips' passion for the project. He finds Phillips' want to drive into the real-life struggles of the comic book characters that is often left unexposed in the film, and that he always felt that these comic characters deserved to be studied, and that Phillips finds this idea appealing. I don't know what I hate more.
I think at this point I might just hate Joaquin Phoenix just a little bit more than DC for doing this to us.
Like, all right, if you look at just the headline, Joaquin Phoenix cast as Joker, pretty much.
It's a bit of a joke in itself.
That's pretty much a joke. And then when you finish that title, or Joker origin movie, why? Why do we need a Joker origin movie? Does anybody know? Does anybody give a shit?
I don't think anybody cares because nobody has the profound understanding of like what the Joker meant in comic books. I think the closest thing that ever truly this is one of the reasons why I truly love the Dark Knight movie, right?
Right.
Was the ending scene or one of the ending scenes when the Joker when Batman's like trying to talk to the Joker and he's like, why would I come to your side when we can just do this forever? And this like starts maniacally laughing and stuff. And it's like he has no or when he burns the money and stuff like that, it's like he doesn't do it for a reason. And an origin story taints that.
Right.
And I think the best thing, so it's like the Killing Joke was an okay origin for me because you still don't know who he is and doesn't really explain why he does what he does, you know? Right. It still essentially kept the essence of the Joker intact. So when you sit there and try to give the Joker an origin story, I can't get behind it. I don't like it. I probably won't watch the movie, to be honest.
Here's the thing. This could be an amazing and phenomenal movie. It could be. And profound in many, many ways. And you know what? I still don't care about it right now. Because it's just... I don't understand what DC's trying to do there with their universe. It seems like they're not trying to do anything at this point. They're just trying to put movies out for no reason.
No, they're not. They're not even trying to put movies out. They're trying to put fucking clickbait articles out. That's all they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because they don't ever finish any of their projects anyways. I'm sure this one will be scrapped.
Or, you know, postponed for 6 years or whatever. Like, you know, we've been talking about these movies for years and years and years. And every time they announce them, we're just like, why are you announcing these garbage movies? You know, it's like, by this point, we expected, you know, fucking 2 Justice League movies, and then we got half a Justice League movie that was not that great, you know? Like, I don't get it. Like, what are they trying to do?
And it's like, so this next piece of article is, like, just the same thing, dude. It's so irritating. All right, we're just going to move on. Dwayne Johnson says Black Adams could film in late 2019, teases DC cameos. While sitting down with the German entertainment website Film Starts, Dwayne Johnson has revealed when the upcoming DC anti-hero film Black Adam could start principal photography, clarifying that it won't be early 2019. Oh, wow. Amazing. So he went on to say this, with Black Adam, I don't think we're going to start early next year. Early next year, right now, looks like I'm going to be shooting Jumanji, and then after that, everything goes well. I'll shoot the movie called Red Notice with Rawson Thurber again, and Gal Gadot and another actor yet to be named. But Black Adam possibly at the end of next year. It's coming along great. The script is coming along great. We're very happy with it. Johnson also hinted at 1 or 2 DC heroes making an appearance in the Black Adam film, saying, without giving away, there might be maybe a cameo or two of something other than DC superheroes. We'll see. That's been the beauty of Black Adam as we've been developing it, is that we could make it a movie that stood on its own too as well, but they're also the beauty of those universes coming together at DC. Okay, I'm not just reading it like that, guys. This is legitly how it was. Like, the guy can't speak. What the fuck? What the fuck, dude? Jesus. Like, oh my God, it's coming along great. It's coming along well, guys. It's coming along great, dude. That's all I know how to say, is that it's coming along great.
Not fucking only retard. Does no one want a Black Adam solo movie,
right?
Not only does no one want that, at this point, who the fuck wants The Rock in anything?
Dude, I'm so sick of seeing him in every single thing. I thought like his movies with what's his name? Sean Williams, right? Like The Rundown and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, The Rundown and Walking Tall and shit like that.
Yeah, dude, those films were like in his wheelhouse. Yeah. That's where he should have stopped.
Yeah. Like,
that is where he should have stopped.
Well, especially because, you know, he's only in these, like, random, you know, destruction movies now, you know, like San Andreas and fucking Skyscraper.
Trying to be, he's trying to be like this age's like action star now.
Yeah, the new fucking action hero, dude. Nobody gives a fuck, all right? Like, if they replace this guy's name that I gave myself this article because I didn't want you to have to try to pronounce.
Yeah, I noticed that.
If they replace this guy's name with The Rock, blah, 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 and Shazam, okay. Black Adam and Shazam, that's something we want. And then they say, oh, no, we took him out of Shazam and put him in his own movie. Why? Why did you do that?
You know why? Because they probably asked him to play Black Adam originally. He's probably only if I get my own film. I bet that.
That's probably true.
I know from what I hear, The Rock is a pretty decent guy, but I've also heard that he can be a bit of a dick. And so it would not surprise me at all if that's exactly what happened and they didn't want the quote-unquote star power to walk away.
Right.
I mean, I'd let him fucking walk, dude. I don't fucking want him in my film. Dude,
you can get amazing people to play a character like Black Adam, you know?
Right. Like, oh, dude, it's just... And then, like, it's literally a fluff piece, dude. Like, it literally just says, there's nothing in the works, but
it could be.
But we might be filming in late 2019. Filming, by the way. Principal photography at right. that. And, oh, and by the way, we kind of have, like, some stuff coming along, so we might have some cameos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, man, I don't have anything to tell you yet, like, but here's the thing, right? It might be possible that stuff is going to happen today. Like, huh. I don't know for sure, but it could happen. It could. So Jimon Ahunzo to play the wizard in Shazam. The wizard's name, by the way, is not Shazam.
Correct.
Wait, no, it is. I'm sorry. Entertainment Weekly reports that Jimon Ahunzo from Guardians of the Galaxy, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, has been cast as the wizard in DC's Shazam, starring Zachary Levi in the title role. Ahunzo is replacing Ron Cephas Jones from This Is Us after a scheduling conflict prevented Jones from taking the role. Ahunzo is also set to reprise his role of Korath for Marvel Studios' Captain Marvel in 2019, which arrives in theaters just weeks before Shazam. His casting and the two films' close release dates are of note because the Shazam character was known as Captain Marvel for many decades.
No. Plays no relevance, jackass.
Yeah. Korath, if you guys don't know, he's the guy at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy when Star-Lord is like, I'm Star-Lord, bitch. He's like, who?
Yeah, he's okay, that guy. Cool, dude. Okay, Birds of Prey filming to start in January, says Margot Robbie. In a new interview with Flickering Myth, which I've never even heard of that, the Harley Quinn actress Margot Robbie revealed that Birds of Prey filming will begin in January, that the R-rated girl gang movie will have much smaller budget than typical DC Extended Universe superhero movies. She also told Yahoo Movies,
such a reliable source.
Movies that the film will feature a diverse cast and new looks for cosplay favorite Harley Quinn. Okay. Margot Robbie said that the costumes haven't been designed yet, but yes, she'll have new looks. Wow, dude, very insightful.
I have nothing to share, but I'm going to share this.
There will be a new Halloween costume out there one day. Robbie is also a producer on Birds of Prey and has said she does not think Harley Quinn should have a standalone film, preferring the character to have a group to play off of. She explained to fandom the dynamic she's trying to create with her DC girl gang. Margot Robbie went on to say, I will say that there are a lot of unexplored DC female characters who are unique and complicated and dark and funny and exciting. And not just for their superpowers. Actually, the ones that excite me the most don't have superpowers at all. But they have, you know, pretty great backstories and all could kind of live in the world with Harley Quinn and create a cool dynamic. Because I don't think girl groups, I mean all my girlfriends, we're a huge girl gang and we're not all the same person. Everyone's very different. I guess I was really trying to put that on the screen. The way we exist in everyday life as a girl gang, a big girl gang, sorry. Why can't we watch that in films more? Because it sounds stupid, that's why. Warner Brothers tapped female director Kathy Yang from Dead Pigs to direct the Birds of Prey film. She will be the first female Asian director to helm a superhero film, which does not matter at all, by the way, guys. Doesn't matter your sex, you know, religion, race. None of that stuff actually matters to whether or not you can direct. So don't know why they continue to put it in a article.
Yeah, it's like they don't point that out for anything
okay,
else.
Okay, although the way she words it, you know, is just not great. But I love what she has to say. Margot Robbie, that is. Right. You know, I think she actually is on to something pretty good, I guess. I just don't think she's very eloquent when she's speaking about it necessarily, but I think she's dead on that Harley Quinn should not have a solo film.
No, she's absolutely right.
I think she hit that right on the head.
You know who else shouldn't have a solo film?
A lot of people. Black Adam.
And Joker. Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah. The thing is, people love the Joker, so people will still see that movie. I understand where DC's going with that, but it's still stupid. Also, why don't they call this movie what it is? It's not Birds of Prey. It's Gotham City Sirens.
Right, yeah. It's super annoying that they're calling it Birds of Prey.
Like, Harley Quinn was never in the Birds of Prey. Other people from the City Sirens were Catwoman was, Poison Ivy was. But Birds of Prey is like Huntress, Batgirl, you know, Hawk and Dove, Big Bart. Like, characters like that, you know. Like, it was never Harley Quinn. Like, but they just want, they have to include her in everything now. Everything.
Right, exactly.
And they explain why in the article. They want to sell costumes. All right, they want to sell Halloween costumes. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the whole idea behind this movie. You know what, guys? We got to make a film to get more of them Halloween costumes out there.
All right. Hey, guys.
I mean, sorry to cut you off. But, I mean, it would be exciting to see a different look for her.
No, yeah, definitely. The more looks, the better. You know, like, that's all fine. That's all good. Like, I'm so jaded by DC right now, like, it's hard to care about this movie. I actually think it'll be a decent movie, you know? Like, I like the characters that they're going for and stuff like that.
Right.
And that the fact that it's not just some fucking random origin story for a character nobody gives a shit about, or a character that should never have their own movie, like Venom. Like, why? I don't know. But anyway, like, it's an interesting thing, at least, you know?
Right.
So, back to a studio that I like. Samuel L. Jackson... Sammy Jackson will be de-aged by 25 years for all of Captain Marvel. Marvel Studios has been no stranger to digital de-aging process in recent years, having used it for brief flashbacks with Michael Douglas in Ant-Man and Robert Downey Jr. in Captain America Civil War, Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and now Douglas, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Lawrence Fishburne in Ant-Man and the Wasp. Let me tell you, this is some fantastic technology. Like, in Civil War, it was amazing to see Robert Downey Jr. like as a kid again. Like that, like our teenager or whatever. Like that, yeah. That was good fucking effects works. It was assumed the same technology would be applied to the upcoming Captain Marvel, which features Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury in the early 90s. But now Kevin Feige has confirmed to Slash Film, excuse me, that moviegoers will see Samuel L. Jackson de-aged for the entire runtime of the film. Feige praised the technology as pretty amazing, while also saying that without spoiling anything, Sam Jackson is shooting a movie for us right now where he's entirely 25 years younger the whole movie, clearly pointing towards his role in Captain Marvel. Feige said that the de-aging effect will also be used for Clark Gregg, who will be reprising his fan-favorite role, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Phil Coulson, and that if audiences respond positively to it, then there's certainly a chance of making future prequels with the tech, especially given certain actors' large body of work as reference. You have all the reference material, and they have aged amazingly, said Feige. They've not aged like normal humans. It's like Paul Rudd. He somehow can do that effect in real life.
It's true.
It's true, yeah.
He's actually, like, not young.
No, he's, like, in his mid to late 40s, isn't he?
Yeah, I think, like, I think it's late 40s, I think.
Yeah. Captain Marvel follows Carol Danvers, played by Brie Larson, Why does it say room? Anyway, played by Brie Larson as she becomes one of the universe's most powerful heroes when Earth is caught up in the middle of a galactic war between two alien races. Set in the 1990s, the film is an all-new adventure from a previously unseen period in the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Brie Larson is joined in the film by Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Lashana Lynch, Gemma Chan, Alginis Perez Soto, Rune Turnte, McKenna Grace, and Annette Bening, and Jude Law, reprising their roles from Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, are Jimon Hounsou and Lee Pace, and returning once again to the Marvel Studios film will be Greg as Agent Coulson. Marvel Studios Captain Marvel's directed, we talked about all that before. That's good news. Lee Pace is coming back as Ronan the Accuser from Guardians of the Galaxy. I like Ronan the Accuser. I thought he was pretty good in that movie.
I just wanted to say thanks for not giving me that article.
So many names.
I know. Names. Stupid names. Talk about names. JB Smoove joins Spider-Man Far From Home cast. Deadline is reporting that JB Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm will be joining the cast of the Sony Pictures sequel to Spider-Man... I misread. We'll be joining the cast of Sony Pictures' sequel, Spider-Man Far From Home. Smoove joins lead actor Tom Holland and the recently announced Jake Gyllenhaal, who is set to play supervillain Mysterio. Mysterio! Sorry, it's just exciting to me. Zendaya and Marissa Tomei will be reprising their roles alongside Michael Keaton, who is returning as the Vulture as well, which could potentially mean we're finally getting the Sinister Six on screen. That's speculation. Marvel is currently auditioning actresses in their 20s for a lead female role. Matt Gargan, a.k.a. the Scorpion, was teased in the credit scenes of Homecoming, where he was playing, where he was played by, Michael Mando. I thought I was about to say Michael Keaton. I was like, no, it wasn't. And it wasn't just in the post-credit scene. He was in the actual film, too, Jackasses.
Yeah, he got hit by a car into the ocean. Or into was it the ocean? The bay? Yeah. In the New York something or
Yeah, in, like, the river. Or whatever.
Yeah, the Hudson. I don't know.
So Marvel Studios President Kevin Feige previously confirmed the 2019 sequel will take Peter Parker out of New York for a European adventure in London that will reflect the global aftermath of Avengers Infinity War and Avengers 4. Details on Smooth's role in the film has not been released, but Deadline notes that he will be play a lead in the ensemble cast. Tom Holland recently confirmed a third film is also in the works. This film is set for July 5th, 2019.
My guess, I have two guesses of who he might be playing. Number one, he could be Michelle's dad. Number two, he could be Jefferson Morales, the father of Miles Morales. And wouldn't that be something?
That would be pretty something.
That's pretty far-fetched, if I'm honest. Do you have anything else on that?
Nope.
Okay, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse adds Nick Cage as Spider-Man Noir.
Oh, no.
Nicolas Cage is voicing Superman in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, and now he's voicing Spider-Man Noir.
You just gotta love Nick Cage, dude.
Maybe because, people are like, you know, you suck at acting, just do voice acting. So now he's just doing all this voice acting. I don't know. Anyways, Nicolas Cage will lend his voice to yet another animated superhero movie this year, taking the role of Spider-Man Noir for the upcoming Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Discussing Film, which is a news site, reported the news, which has now been confirmed by Collider. Cage can be seen next in the suspense film Mandy and providing the voice of Superman and Teen Titans Go to the Movies. Spider-Man Noir is one of the many Spider-Men that has been introduced from across the multiverse. In this particular universe, Spider-Man Noir is a version of Peter Parker being raised during the Great Depression era, still an investigative reporter who gets his superpowers from a spider. This version of Spider-Man comes armed with a gun. Pow, pow.
Ping, ping, pow, pow.
I cosplayed as Spider-Man Noir one time and only one person knew who I was.
Yeah, I don't think he is a notoriously known version of Spider-Man. Probably not.
True that.
So, Kate Shortland will direct the Black Widow movie. After extensive search by the studios and years of fans asking about the project, Hollywood Reporter brings word that Australian director Kate Shortland will helm Marvel Studios' Black Widow movie starring Scarlett Johansson. Shortland's credits include the World War II drama Lore from 2012 and the horror film Berlin Syndrome from last year. The studio reportedly met with over 70 different directors for the project, narrowing the search down to Emma Asti from Bella and Maggie Betts from something. And Shortland... actress turned director Malene Laurent and Kimberly Pierce were also reportedly in the mix, though no official word has been announced by Marvel Studio at this point. The Hollywood Reporter reports that Zach Schaefer has been penned the most recent draft of the script for the film. The outlet also reports that Black Widow movie, much like upcoming Captain Marvel movie, will be a prequel and set before the event of Marvel's The Avengers.
Cool. Yeah. So they interviewed over 70 people. Are we to assume that they were all women?
I believe they all were women.
Is there an issue with that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't really care, to be honest. I just think that, you know, with this fight for equality and all this stuff, like, you know, I know there's going to be a backlash of men on the other side saying, that's not equality, of you know, that you were never going to hire a man, and, you know, like, it was always...
I mean, technically, they're all right.
Technically, they're right, but that doesn't mean it's really an issue. It just shows some hypocrisy. Everybody's hypocritical. Look, the world's not fair. I don't really, to be honest, I don't care about fairness so much as I care about something that's just, you know, good. Like, if you look at what's going on in the NBA, for example, like, it's not fair what some of these teams are doing, but it's going to make it very entertaining.
Yep.
Yeah. New Joss Whedon series, The Nevers, set up at HBO. Joss Whedon, the fan favorite creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Firefly, Dollhouse, and writer-director of Marvel's The Avengers, is returning to TV. It's weird to say fan favorite. I don't know if he's a fan favorite anymore. He's a problematic figure right now, but his work is still amazing. So, we'll continue. HBO has announced that they've been bringing his new sci-fi series, The Nevers, to life on the premium cable network. The Nevers follows in the footsteps of Buffy with a fantastical story featuring powerful female characters. The show will be an epic science fiction drama about a gang of Victorian women who find themselves with unusual abilities, relentless enemies, and a mission that might change the world. So Joss Whedon said this: "The Nevers is maybe the most ambitious narrative I've ever created. It's been too long since I created an entirely new fictional world." Casey Boyes, president of programming, said, "We have long been fans of the incredibly talented and prolific Joss Whedon, and we can't think of a better project than The Nevers with which to welcome him to the HBO family. We look forward to meeting the strange, multifaceted characters to learn their stories, see them in action, and share them with our viewers.
Cool story, yes. Bro.
I'm actually looking forward to this. I love Joss Whedon as a writer and a director and a creator and all of the above. You know, like I said, as a person, he's become a problematic figure in nerd culture and, you know, his role as quote-unquote a feminist and things like that. To be honest, that's all his character. We have to separate character from art sometimes, you know, and that's what I'm doing with this and with his previous projects and things, you know. I mean, for someone who's not really a feminist, as has been shown by his actions, he still creates wonderfully rich and powerful women characters and men characters for that. So, yeah, I mean, who cares, right?
Right. I mean, yeah, I'm fairly excited about this new series. I love Joss Whedon's work, as Christian said as well. I mean, his work speaks for himself. I think people get too caught up in the whole political movement and what people believe, and I just think people just need to chill out just a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Especially because, you know, it all derives from him cheating on his wife or things like that, having an affair. Right. Like, these are things that are character traits. Just because you made a bad decision doesn't mean you're suddenly not a feminist. You don't respect women because you cheated on them or whatever. Like, obviously, you know, he made a mistake. He did a stupid thing. He did a wrong thing. You know, he should be condemned for it. That doesn't mean he doesn't respect women. It doesn't mean that he is suddenly a terrible, terrible, terrible human being. Right. And all of his other life choices are terrible. I mean, that's just how it is. But yeah, there are bad people out there. So,
right.
Anyway, that's all the news, guys. Thank you for sticking with us for all day. You know,
thanks, guys.
Anything particular you want to say before we sign out?
Yeah, a couple things. First off, make sure you guys are following us on all of our social medias, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. We also have an awesome website designed by Christian himself, of course, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. Yeah, make sure that you guys are subscribed to the podcast, like it, leave us a review on what you guys think about our podcast, good or bad. Feedback is good for us. So,
yeah,
that does not matter. Share us with your friends and families and dogs and cats and lizards and
boyfriends and girlfriends and trans friends and all your friends. Every friend you have. Yep. And if you don't have friends,
we'll be your friends.
Just listen to us in the dark or something.
Yeah, we'll be your friends. Yeah. Don't worry.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we're Ronnie's only friends. And we're not even really his friends. You know, we just kind of talk shit to him online.
Yeah, Ronnie, you're the worst.
Yeah, I fucking love you for being the worst.
Being the worst at working out, you little runt.
Yeah, I know all you do is put your fucking Apple Watch on the dog collar and let him run wild.
Bro. That's so funny, dude. Or you just like go to the gym, look for the buffest guy, and be like, hey, can you wear this for me?
He just puts it like he ties it to like the foot strap on the bike machine, so it just keeps going.
Dude, I know, right? Oh my.
Yeah, that's all true, by the way.
It is
verified.
Verified. 100% so. Facts.
Yeah, follow
any,
us.
Anything else said about that matter is complete slander.
Yeah. And you know, my lawyers will be in contact.
Yeah, for so. Sure. 100%. Other than that, though, I do have one thing, a couple shout-outs to talk about involving Twitch and whatnot. So, like I said a couple times earlier, if you guys would like to help support my Twitch adventures and my channel, come by, view it. If you like the content, drop a follow. I think I'm at 20 followers now, so I just need 30 more followers by the end of July to get my affiliate status, which allows me to get a subscriber button and generally really does help grow Twitch community. Big shout out to Chad. Go follow his Twitch channel, twitch.tv. / it's I think it's AZ1RITH, like it's Azareth, but that's how you spell it though. Also big shout out to Global Geek Network on Twitter and Discord. It's a community of Twitch streamers that really help each other out, and like the way their Discord is set up, you link it with your Twitch, and whenever you go live, it posts on the Discord, and there's a couple hundred people in there that see that, and you know, they come and lurk in your channel, drop you follows and stuff. It's really an awesome Discord community to be a part of, and very, very helpful. So shout out to you guys. I appreciate you guys helping support, and like I said, come by the channel, check it out. It's twitch.tv/ Captain Hot Sauce.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all. That's all. That's all I got.
Chad's thing is A Z R 1 T H.
Oh, 1 T H.
A Z R 1 T H. Follow him on Twitter. Everything. He's trying to help save the turtles, guys. And yeah, that's dude. Very important. So
yeah, yeah. We love turtles. He's partnered with Streamlabs, and I think I forget what the condition is, but. They'll donate money to help save the planet and wildlife, and yeah, he's trying to save the turtles, guys. Yeah. So yeah, go follow him, twitch.tv/ Azareth. It's AZR1TH.
Yep. And yeah, shout out to Ronnie, you know, sorry for talking shit.
Ronnie.
We apologize for not having
I don't apologize.
No, not to Ronnie. We apologize for not having Daniel here to take the piss out of because it's really fun to roast, and I know you guys enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
And shout out to Matthew, my friend, my good friend. He wants to go see Shazam with us. I don't know why that's the movie he told me he wanted to see with us. I mean, I'm sorry that is your low ambition, but all right.
Yeah, it so. Should have been freaking...
I mean, Captain Marvel, Avengers Infinity War Part 2. I mean,
Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, anything.
Literally anything. Fantastic yeah, Beasts and Where to Find Them, yeah, The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Right.
You know.
All right, guys. Yeah. That's all we have for you guys on this podcast. Like Christian said, thank you for sticking around. Be sure to check out our other podcasts. We have a special podcast, you know, talking about depression and social anxiety coming out this week, something that we both have pretty passionate about and wanted to talk for a little bit about. We also have Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out this weekend as well. So stay tuned to that.
Yeah.
So that's all we got for you this week on Nerdy Boys Reviews. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we always leave you with one simple message, and that's stay nerdy, boys.